hearing it. Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 28th on the West Coast, and now December the 29th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and hope you had a nice Christmas, and hope you're getting ready for the New Year celebration. Lots to talk about tonight. We're going to have fun tonight. You know, we have been dealing with such dark topics, and we still might somewhat tonight, but we're going to have some fun. And before we bring on tonight's guest and actually get into our introductory music, which has become a habit on the show, I want to tell you about a rumor going around Washington. Rumor has it that on a recent Saturday afternoon in Washington, D.C., an aide to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited the bishop of the Catholic Cathedral in Washington. He told the cardinal that Nancy Pelosi would be attending the next day's Mass, and he asked if the cardinal would kindly point out Pelosi to the congregation and say a few words that would include calling Pelosi a saint. The cardinal replied, "No, I don't really like the woman, and there are issues of conflict with the Catholic Church over certain of Pelosi's views." Pelosi's aide then said, "Look, I'll write a check here and now for a donation of $100,000 to your church if you'll just tell the congregation you see Pelosi as a saint." Cardinal thought about it and said, "Well, the church can use the money, so I'll work your request into tomorrow's sermon." As Pelosi's aide promised, House Speaker Pelosi appeared for the Sunday worship and seated herself prominently at the forward left side of the center aisle. As promised, at the start of his sermon, the cardinal pointed out that Speaker Pelosi was present. The cardinal went on to explain to the congregation, "While Speaker Pelosi's presence is probably an honor to some, the woman is not numbered among my personal favorite personages. Some of her most egregious views are contrary to tenets of the church, and she tends to flip-flop on many other issues. Nancy Pelosi is a petty, self-absorbed hypocrite, a thumbsucker, and a nitwit. Nancy Pelosi is also a serial liar, a cheat, and a thief. I must say, Nancy Pelosi is the worst example of a Catholic I have ever personally witnessed. She married for money and is using her wealth to lie to the American people. She also has a reputation for shirking her representative obligations both in Washington and in California. The woman is simply not to be trusted." The cardinal concluded, "But when compared with Obama and Senators Harry Reid and John Kerry, House Speaker Pelosi is a saint." And with that, I'm going to move on to the introduction of tonight's show, courtesy of Frank Zappa. And this tells the story of what's going on currently in the atmosphere and in space around planet Earth. Inca Roads.
Thank you. food is
never
that?
Seen nothing like that. Hey, Russ. My life.
over back up from somewhere at the castle and the beard is what she round and did she have a mother or a she's a big different Hawk and Mary Queen, Hawk and Mary Queen, Hawk and Mary Queen, and the Armadillo and us in Texas for our artists of a villain, they leave the space for Chester's thing.
Chester's thing.
Did up over back up from somewhere at the did up over back up from somewhere at the did the end is for the beard, Hawk and Mary Queen.
Well, if I were to surmise Frank Zappa's and the Mother of Invention's intention with that song, Inca Roads, it was a tribute to the United Galactic Federation. Who else could that be to? And they do have a sense of humor. Of course, he was talking about flying saucers, spaceships, and the fact that they'd been seen. And he actually brought some humor to the issue. And I think tonight we're going to have a little fun with this topic. I'm going to bring tonight's guest, who has been very patiently waiting to come on board. He's a frequent guest on Evident Footprints and many other talk shows on the alternative media. And he's a polymer chemist and also a chemtrail opposition researcher, my good friend, Dr. Mike Castle. Dr. Mike, welcome to the show. Well, we don't seem to have Dr. Mike with us. So, Doug, if you're listening and you can make sure Dr. Mike is coming through. I know he was there at the start. Doug, if you can hear me, please, can you get Dr. Castle back on the line? All right, we heard him a little bit there. Also, a little bit of feedback. We're waiting patiently. Silence is deadly on radio. These things happen sometimes. Got an indication that we are trying to get Dr. Castle back, so hang in there, folks. Well, while we're waiting, I think I'll talk about a couple of things that have risen in many discussions. I actually heard Dr. Greg Evenson on his Thanksgiving show on RBN, and he was talking about the things that we should be thankful for. And one of the things he had mentioned was the fact that there were people researching and looking into areas of the truth that have not been shared with the masses. People have been looking for answers to the world's problems, and they always expect to get some help from someone, from outside even, and many are asking if there are visitors from other planets around our planet, why aren't they helping us? Well, that's presuming that they're here to help us, and they may not be helping us, or one would think. They're not obligated to help us. So if they do, they may have an interest in what we're doing because of its impact or, you know, the potential of destruction on this planet spreading to other parts of the galaxy. And that's a reality that they would be concerned with. I understand Dr. Castle is back with us.
Yes. Good morning, Don.
Okay. I don't know how long you were gone, but
It was a very short NDE.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was. I don't know if I got sonared or what, but it just went like the phone was off the hook. I heard it click. So, but I'm back.
Okay. Well, I opened with a rather lively piece of music.
Yeah, I heard most of that.
Okay. Quite a composition when you think
about it. That was Frank Zappa. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. In fact, he had some pretty well-known musicians working with him. The percussionist is a woman by the name of Ruth Underwood. And for a time, her husband, Ian, was a keyboardist with Frank Zappa, played piano and organ and clavinet, all the different keyboards, synthesizers. And on this particular cut, George Duke, the famous jazz and funk musician, singer and multi-keyboardist, played on that and sang the lead. So, and then he had Napoleon Murphy Brock singing harmonies with him and playing the flute parts. So it's an interesting collection of musicians.
Yeah, and you sound just like you're reading that from a billboard of that era. It's amazing your capacity to remember names and artists and things like that. So, but that beat, I'm not certain what kind of beat that was. What is that, seventh?
He was in multiple time signatures there. You know, he was in a slow 4. A very fast 7/16 time, you know, and
it's almost like, you know, he needed to take something to slow his heart down or something, you know.
Well, it's an interesting piece of music. You know, he had very interesting melodies and he explored every rhythmic possibility you can imagine. And his chords were very different. He used a lot of suspensions, which created a lot of tension, but it created an openness and allowed you to get outside the box. That's the main reason why I played the track.
I was going to say, the person on the synthesizer, that's what that sounded like. It was like having a microphone hooked up directly to a tight wire. You know, you mentioned the synthesizer. I'm just thinking, that's the one that just kind of went everywhere, you know? It's just, yeah. Well, anyway, that was very interesting music. You said it was going to be interesting music. So.
Well, I said it was going to be an interesting show.
Yeah. Are we having fun yet?
So, how was your Christmas?
I took it very slowly. It was merry. It was homely. Things at the cave are just the same as they were the day before. I spent time with family, and very good to see all of them. And just Christmas cheer in amongst all the doom and gloom that we seem to all be coming across every single day and more and more. And it just keeps stacking up, and they just look at me like they're mad at me because I had told them this stuff a long time ago. And, you know, it's like, I didn't do anything. I just told you about it. So anyway, there just seems to be that rhythm that no one wants these things to do what they're going to do or change or happen. But as much as we try to calm them down, there's not really anything you can say, Don. There's nothing really anyone can say to slow this down unless they're in prayer. That's the only thing that can slow or turn this around or down. But there's too many over there in all walks of life, not just family, that feel that, it's apathetic only. It's mediocre at best to be alarmed. And they don't understand that these, can I just say, minions are... They seem to be virtually destined to try to exterminate human made in his image kind. That is the target, and they do it in every way that they can. Every day you read something, Senate Bill 510, more poison, more open license for killing through vaccination, swine flu outbreak in Britain, and it just continues. It just they're going to take over all the water supply. You know, I mean, which direction can you possibly go and let your face go to the sunshine? Well, they don't let that happen very easily either. Hate to be the guy that, in fact, has nothing good to say, but I'm really trying. I'm really looking for something, Don. You got anything?
Well, I've been recommending that folks envision a different reality, put their intention on it. Of course, if you're going to pray, you can pray about that. So it's a double whammy. And I think that anyone that really considers what's going on and would choose something else would do that. It doesn't take too much effort. And the reward is great, but one has to act. Now, you know, we've talked about, in fact, on last night's show with Dr. H. Watt, we talked about the issue of the nine veils and recognizing what's going on different levels, piercing the veil and moving on to the next reality. Not that we'll talk about that per se tonight, but the idea is to recognize this and to be aware and to be conscious, and your consciousness creates other opportunities. Just being conscious puts you in a position to choose something else and to affect it, to cause it to come about. That is difficult for a lot of people, but it really doesn't cost anything to do that. You don't have to send anybody any money to do that. You can do it in your own home, or you can do it wherever you are, for that matter. So if people would think a little bit outside the box, and, you know, we can wallow in all the misery that we've experienced through this past year, with the new year coming around, to me, it doesn't seem like, you know, I want to do that tonight. But
no, I don't think so. But your point is well taken about the show with Dr. Ott. And, of course, I was on his show just before that show with him when he, in fact, went through this sequence of things that talks about everything from mostly dealing in the economies of a lot of things, but fast-forwarding these veils. I mean, can anyone put themselves into one of these piercings, into the veils? And I don't know. I don't know if anybody can do that. They want to think that they're smarter than that. That no, I've thoroughly denied that, or I've already moved on from that point. Like I said, honesty with oneself is sometimes hard to do because we all want to feel that we're victims of many of these things. And it's not just about the economies of anything. It's not just about survival of the fittest with money. It's about just survival, period. There's nothing that was talked about as far as other than human survival. And that is of great concern to me. There was nothing that that tells me that anything in nature is going to survive this onslaught of continued destruction and poisoning. I've studied the methodology that they use for poisoning. I've written about it. You've talked about it. You know of those things. They're extremely toxic to all things. So it doesn't really look like they're going to stop until they have what they've programmed into our minds as being scorched earth. Oh, wait a minute. If you're going to scorch the earth and if everything's going to die, what's the point? Well, I read many years ago, back in 1999 and 2000, something that appeared in a David Icke newsletter by DF, anonymous by DF. And he talked about an insider speaks out. He clearly defined one thing that I, in fact, never forgot, and it guided me into looking at and searching for the weapons that they were using beginning back in the early 90s. And that was this DF talked about the entire North American continent being nothing but a nature park with nothing but sparse human populace. And, of course, how loudly did I scream words that, in fact, would only describe the excretia of the alpha of the bovine species. I mean, how more clearly could I announce to anybody that this is just absolutely crap, that it's not possible? Well, through the years, I've seen where they've, in fact, needled this thing through. They've spread their propaganda like they've spread all these other things. They've spread their poisons. They've got the pharmaceuticals going. I mean, I used to read things about them growing pharmaceutical drugs. Well, they're doing that now. They're growing everything. But it's all coming from a corporate sense of extermination, not anything to do with compassion, not with survival of human, but extermination of human. You check to see what the chart says about sperm count worldwide. That has a lot to do with humanity, made in his image kind. But no one wants to look at stuff like that. It's, but then again, well, you look at the bee count recently. Well, nobody wants to understand that. Nobody wants to ask those questions. So you see what I'm saying, Don? It's good to, in fact, be able to put yourself into amongst those veils. And I commend Dr. Ott for what he's written, and excellent, excellent summarization, along with Don Harkins and what he started. But I still don't know where I'm at. I really don't. I don't know where I'm at in this universe. I don't know if someone, in fact, is really watching out for me. I caught some of what you said just after I came, after Doug called me back, about the galaxy and this and that. And I know they don't have any obligations to us. I'm not certain what obligations I have to anybody else myself, but I'm not certain what they can do for us, be honest with you. I know that you've privately told me that they've, in fact, been able to divert many things, and I am grateful for all of their actions, no matter what they are, because no one else is going to do this. But I'm still not up on the springboard yet in being able to jump up and say, hooray, we got a chance.
Well, we have to act ourselves. I mean, we're the ones who are responsible here. That's the whole point I'm making. And this doesn't have to be all doom and gloom. You see, they're the ones shoving or attempting to shove.
Yes, it's by definition what that is, right?
Yeah, down our throats, okay? We don't have to accept that. We do not have to accept that. There are those that automatically do. Oh, well, now we have to do this, and now we have to do that. Or they're going to do this, or they've been doing it all along.
Yep.
And it's time that people finally get sick and tired of it and say, I'm not going to put up with it anymore. Enough is enough. How much corruption do you need to witness until you acknowledge that there's corruption?
Right.
And where the corruption is, where the murder is, the premeditated murder of thousands or even millions of people. You know, we can talk about those things, but fearing them doesn't solve anything. That's what they want. They want everyone to be paralyzed with fear. And we have to get outside the box and realize that we are much more powerful than they give us credit for being. Much, much more powerful. And really, to hear one person tell the truth scares the hell out of them. A whole bunch of them together. That's how fearful they are. So do we need to stay in that state of fear ourselves? That's their choice. That's what they like. That's what they are. We don't have to be that way. Which is why I sort of took a lighthearted attitude about and demeanor about tonight's show.
Yeah, I heard what Dr. Ott had to say on his show tonight. Excellent show. He, in fact, directly called out to Ron Paul, Dr. Paul, to listen to what he's saying. We can do this, and that is with specificity. That's what needs to move forward. But how do we clamor to endorse that? How do we get them to move? I can't find even Ron Paul, nor Carol Paul, nor Rand Paul will write me back. When they write me what they consider a personal letter, they won't respond to me. I don't care what I say. If I write back and say, hey, I've got $5 million I want to donate to you, they still don't write me back.
Don't you think it's time, Dr. Mike, don't you think it's time to reconsider asking them to lead? If they can't respond.
Yes, I do. Beyond, it's past time. It's past time to ask anybody anything. And that's what I kept saying about the chemtrails. You got to demand. You don't ask. They don't understand questions. They don't understand any of this. They don't understand anything. And besides that, how do you know that you are asking someone that really can is empowered enough to stop anything? All of Congress are mere corporate agents. I'll say that for the 50th time on your show once again. The entire Congress are nothing but corporate agents. Who are we going to call? That's not doom and gloom. That's a question.
Well, who do you suggest we call?
I kind of work myself into this hole every time, Don, but that's just exactly the paradoxical world that we live in right now, you know? It is. We can be extremely hopeful that there is someone out there that is listening with good intentions of possibly doing. But sometimes they look at themselves, if they're in a type of authority or position of appointment, that they can stop or, in fact, repent or help reverse this or whatever. They look at the same things that we look at. Look who's got all the weapons. All these things. Look who's got all that. I mean, we're going to a gunfight with a knife.
Yeah. Well, you're concluding that the weapon is the end all to changing something or stopping something, and that's not necessarily so, because weapons can fail. They do often.
That is true. You know, I've worked quite a bit on trying to reverse some of these things. I think in my own way I've been successful in understanding it, but I call them countermeasures and those types of things. But I really have nothing that, in fact, can stop this onslaught of just continued one incident after the other, and some of them we don't even hear about, as you know. But it's just one after the other, and it's just like, you can't even get off of it. You can't get off of this thing. So it's just like one incident after the other incident. And I know a lot of people share in that same confusion of where do you stop this cage just for a moment so we can get our bearing? Which way are we supposed to be heading here?
Yeah, in the Patriot community, there's been this talk for years: be prepared, get prepared, and that's usually entails having food, water, possibly medicines or things that would replace medicines, and some way to communicate with somebody. Be prepared with a makeshift shelter, a bug out bag, as they like to call it. Okay, You should always be prepared for any situation, not just because people are talking about a handful of madmen that want to enslave the whole planet and robotize it. Whatever's not killed, whatever's not murdered intentionally, just so they can remove opposition and avoid revealing the truth. It's all about truth. That's it in a nutshell. They despise the truth. And if people are after the truth, finding it is going to free them. Even Jesus said that. The truth shall set you free. And so we should be in pursuit of the truth, facing these things that they're doing and recognizing what they're doing. But we don't have to succumb to it in the process. We should be all focused on solutions. As if we were the only ones there to come up with a solution. Each one of us individually.
You're correct. And that's what I said before. Well, time everybody, in fact, becomes aware of it. And how come these are not waking up? Listen, there's enough of us awake, okay? There's enough of us, in fact, that we can do something, but we're just not certain what that is. Besides, be prepared. I guess we all are prepared as much as we can be right now. You know, do I have a bug-out bag ready? I'm ready to go somewhere. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Truth, in fact, is something that shows like yours, many of them, they're all speaking truth, no matter what they've got in their background. They're all talking somewhat the same language about, without anonymity to who we're describing, okay? So nobody's keeping that secret, but we're all saying the same thing. It is truth. They can't stand that. They're trying to shut that passage down. That flow is going to be shut down by their pen, no law, just by the FCC and those bunch of monster minions that, in fact, are in charge of that thing. I mean, we can call them all the bad names we want. But that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to keep us from talking any more truth just by calling it something exactly opposite of what it is. They cannot tell the truth. They can only lie. They cannot tell the truth. And you know that to be true. But I will say again, it's only shows like yours and so many others that, in fact, are out there on the Internet that, in fact, talk the truth. I don't know if they talk the same kind of truth overseas, except through wind talkers and other, let's just say, connectivities. They're getting the same broadcast or the podcast and things like that. I just got a note from Eon. Eon is in Malaysia, and he enjoys it very much, and he's having trouble getting podcast of my shows with Dr. Ott and your show and a couple other broadcasts. He's not sure where to go to. I've got to send him something back, but I doubt very seriously that there's a lot of other radio hosts out there that are talking the same thing that we're talking and the same kind of truth. You know, it's all connected to Matrix stuff.
Well, give them the website link and tell them what station to listen to, and
for podcast,
have him listen to other shows. I mean, he should be able to get the show live on the Internet. It's on the Internet. If he doesn't have Internet, he should try to tune in to one of the Wind Talker stations, depending on where he is. And he could do that with the radio. So
somewhere in Malaysia. That's all I know about him. He's a very nice gentleman, and I know quite a few of them like that keep in touch from time to time, and they enjoy very much what you have to say and the shows and all that. I mean, no, they're part of this community that we've got out there that are listening. And they're also hoping for better times. They're hoping for a better America. They, too, enjoin in those out there that are overseas that are saying, what's wrong with you people over there? So why can't you wake up? Well, that's what I keep saying. There's enough of us awake, we just need to do something. Not certain what that is, besides be ready to be prepared. So,
well, there is a lot of secrecy in Europe, too, I can tell you. You know, I spent 5 years there, and I witnessed major riots in Paris. And once I left Paris, I heard nothing about it anywhere. That was the last I heard about it. But there were thousands of people rioting. You know, and it seemed like thousands of police officers in riot gear. And I was just traveling through at the time, and I couldn't help but notice thousands and thousands of people marching. And at the time, they were arguing for amnesty. And they were speaking out against the King of Spain at the time. So It's not good publicity to let that get out to Germany or Italy or Switzerland, and you didn't hear about it on the mainstream news. So they have propaganda like we do. In the larger cities, people are more awake. In places where they have technology and people can get on the internet, they're aware of what's going on, and they have certain opinions about what's going on in America because of propaganda and a lot of the disinformation. But they are fortunate enough to find the shows that are putting out the truth, or to read things that they know are true from their own experience. You can't count on everyone there in Europe to be awake either. I can tell you, I met people who their whole life hadn't traveled 5 kilometers down the mountain and to visit the town at the bottom of the mountain they lived on. You know,
they haven't went and seen the Flatlanders yet.
And these were people that might have been able to be extras in the European version of the movie Deliverance. You know.
You don't need to say any more. I got the picture.
Okay.
Well, but they're normal people, and
they're good people though. You know, they're living their lives, and
they're pretty humans made in His image, kind. That's about the only way you can describe it. And are there monsters amongst them? Probably. It seemed like those are everywhere. But anyways, it's just we're on the doorstep of 2011, and I have a question for you. What should we expect?
What should we expect?
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, I would say to reap what we sow.
Okay.
And it goes back, the solution is within each one of us. This has been a repeated theme on this show. You, as you know yourself, the solution is within each one of us. How much time do you think it takes to get an individual to a place where he or she knows the truth? I think everybody's, there's no fixed time, there's no fixed rule on how long that takes. Some people attempt to become conscious by the end of their life, and some people are very impatient and they want a fast, instant solution, microwavable if possible. And, you know, so I'm sort of tongue-in-cheek, but we have people who are just impatient. We're in this instant fast food world where you're promised something within 5 minutes. You get 2 for 1. You know, your consciousness is in this struggle to obtain material possessions, things, and it gives you sort of an affirmation of the reality of the physical world. And your mental aspect of who you are is focused on achieving that. So in two levels, the physical level and the mental level, all of your energy when you're striving to obtain things, and that could be money too, all of your attention is going to be focused on that, and you're not really going to be naturally going into the spiritual side. In fact, the more you focus on the physical, the less you can focus on the spiritual. And someone who has spent the time in self-searching, in praying or in meditating or reading and brushing up on things, learning some things, expanding one's horizons a little bit in an intellectual and a spiritual manner, you will look at all of this stuff quite differently than you look at it from the perspective of the person that's still chasing the material. they've done a very good job with commercials. Just turn on a TV set and watch how many commercials you see in the space of an hour. Turn on a sporting event and watch how, like clockwork, if the teams don't call a timeout so they can break to commercial, the referees, the umpires, someone in an official capacity will call a timeout, and they just call it a TV timeout. Well, this is for TV. Well, it's all on TV, but no, this is for the advertisers. This is so the TV networks can make money. And again, everything is focused on money. So you're watching this and you're waiting, and you kind of get a feel for when the commercials are going to end and the program's going to start. And they come back into the event and they're still showing you some more commercials, and every touchdown and every extra point or every home run is sponsored by a corporation, reminding you of the product that brought you this sport. When in reality, we pay for all these things. We build the stadiums and we pay the salaries by paying the ridiculous ticket prices and the ridiculous prices for the concessions. So no matter how you look at watching TV, Dr. Mike, it's all about making money. Off of whom? Those who are watching. So it's
because we've been trained to in fact feel nothing but gratification by purchasing something,
mm-hmm.
not by making the money, but by obtaining it, by purchasing it. That's
then
trained us, in fact, to think that that is gratification.
Yeah.
And there's no other ways of gratification, because entertainment is nothing but a diversion anyways. But nonetheless, that's the matrix. That's the world we've all been, in fact, indoctrinated into virtually our entire life. And so we don't really know anything else. So when we get out of that box and we don't watch TV a lot, and as a matter of fact, if we do, we do nothing but get very, very indignant and, in fact, swear at it and cuss at it and turn it off, just about throw the remote at it, because you see all this stuff. And there are other people around that, in fact, wonder what is wrong with him. What is wrong with you? Well, see.
Well, you're wondering the same thing about them, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, well, like I said, couches have gravity of their own because it pulls you down and puts you in front of that thing.
This isn't about slamming the people that are watching TV.
No.
Some people can watch it and observe what's going on and actually see the truth. The presentation of a story in the form of a movie or some special, some Hollywood production with music and sound and special effects and famous people is supposed to capture your imagination and take your mind off of things. And you're being programmed, you're being conditioned to accept these things as fiction, even though they might be true. Some of the storylines, some of the information, some of the things that you see in the movie or things that you hear are being said in the movie are actual truth, but they're presented in such a fantastic way that people automatically say, that's only in the movies. This stuff is just in the movies. And if you say that it's really, if there are flying saucers up in the air or up in space, you're crazy, because that only happens.
That's just Hollywood.
Yeah, you see.
Yeah,
which is Hollywood. Which is why they put them in the movies, is to keep you in that locked-in mental state of a predetermined reality. You see, they are creating the reality for you. You are not creating that reality, not while you're following their program. So you get out of that by deciding that you're going to create a different reality. And you start by choosing the way you would have the reality be if everything was okay. You had enough money. You had a place to live. You had nice clothes. Your family was fed. Your children were healthy. They had a place to play. They didn't have to worry about being abducted by politicians and or their agents that want to sell them in an international market.
Or priests in the church.
You know, you think about these things. You say, I wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. You face the things that are going on. Now, how do you know these things are going on? Well, if you haven't done a little bit of research, if you haven't really paid attention, you should be insulted that this is going on, and at least care enough to want to do something about it.
Yeah, and Don, I got into that very discussion just recently with somebody this evening, as a matter of fact, about this same topic. And they can't understand why all the doom and gloom, why all the, you know, you say this is all going to happen, and you know, what if it doesn't? And I said, well, okay, that's a rhetorical question, because what if it does? You're going to wait until it does happen? Something bad does happen? Martial law, something like that? Then you're going to say, daggone, the guy was right. But why wait until then? It's too late to do anything, to reverse anything, to in fact, to do anything about it. So I've got into that discussion before, and they just don't understand, because no matter what documentation I have that I could present, they don't want to see that. It's an argument that, in fact, that there is no parallel, because they don't understand. They just don't understand why you, in fact, kind of like fiend on this, all this stuff. And I said, because you never look at anything. You get everything off of that square box or that tube. You get all your information. Your matrix, in fact, revolves around that. Hey, that's okay. Have a nice day. I don't need to talk to anybody that, in fact, that's got that opinion that they're, oh, no, that's crazy. No. As I said before, if you, in fact, have been called crazy, wear it like a badge. That should make you very happy. What's gratification to me? My form of gratification is somebody, in fact, having built one of these accumulators out west, or maybe two people, and in fact, they're going through seismic activity that they don't understand. And in fact, and they're going through various types of anomalies of weather that's not been there for a long time. And I just tell them, in fact, to do little things like take and put a little wood chip on the south side, tip it a little bit south, put a wood chip on the north, just a very few degrees, and then someone in Oregon do the same thing, but do it this way, or somebody on the East Coast, in fact, telling them in fast forward motion, they say that we've got these materials to put this together. What should I do? Okay, I'll tell them do this. Okay, and then say two prayers and go to bed. Well, they in fact reported back to me that they reported back the next day. They said it was just amazing that the blizzard snow stopped almost when they got that done. Almost, that is gratifying to me, and it had nothing to do with me. That's all natural energy. That's all.
That's an example of somebody taking some action and actually doing something on their own. Did they have to call Ron Paul?
Right. That's what gratification is. It's not purchasing something. It's not in the matrix. But that's catching on, because I said, look, just tell people what you've done, but don't sell it to them. Give it to them. Just pay forward. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's gratifying to me.
It's another challenge to awaken somebody who doesn't want to wake up. And that's their prerogative, to stay asleep. You're going to help those that are looking for help. You're going to provide answers to those who are looking for answers. And you're going to show the truth to someone who wants to find the truth. That's as simple as it gets. It's really not that complicated. We keep repeating this, that it starts with each individual. They have to do something. They actually have to do some soul searching and ask themselves why they're here. I still think many people don't do that. They don't ask themselves why they came into a body and they're living on this planet. And I suppose that it's not everyone's dispensation to even ask themselves that question. Because
no, and those people, they don't put any more value into not just their longevity and life. They don't put any value into their children or grandchildren or whatever. They don't even consider that. They just say, hey, you live and you die, and everybody's going to die. And that's the way they look at stuff. Yeah, but wait a minute, huh? You can do what you want to. Yeah, we're all going to die. But I've got something to say about it. If somebody's poisoning me on a chronic basis every single day, possibly every single breath, my kids, my grandkids, yeah, I've got something. If the food, they're passing laws to, in fact, you're going to eat this or die or starve to death. You can't even grow your own food now. Okay, yeah, I've got something to say about that. It is in a vehement protest to whomever is out there that will listen. But on a more positive side, there's more people now stepping forward saying, is there something we can do? That's encouraging to me. Isn't it you? It's very encouraging. More people are stepping forward asking, well, what can we do about it? And now they're willing to listen. We don't have all the answers, but at least we went down that road that far that we've got some answers, maybe a response to something that's immediate, like a blizzard. Or earthquakes or those things that we've personally studied and we've made observations. We didn't invent anything. We just took somebody else's observations and, in fact, built upon those, because those people that made those observations are all dead now. They didn't do anything with what they were doing. But, see, that's the way things are supposed to work. Not go buy it, not $19.99, I'll send you all this stuff for three easy payments, give me your card number. We don't invoke that. We all need money to survive. Yes, at this point we do. There's no other option right now. And none of us, in fact, can pull ourselves out of that box and say, okay, hey, I don't need any money. No. But if we could, see, every time you're able to help somebody and not pay them or be paid for any of that, you push greed out of your heart. Every time you do that, you push greed away from you. That is the root cause of all of our problems right now, is that greed, no matter who they are. We've been trained to be greedy. We have, all of our life.
Well, being greedy is being ungrateful for what you have. And
it is. It is.
You know, that's the difference. I mean, those who are grateful for what they have tend not to be greedy. They appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
I want more.
Well, the thing that everyone is after is this concept of universal abundance, abundant health, and that means a healthy body that can do things like a young person. Some people say, "Well, I'm too old to think that my body can be healthy." What do you do to mind your health? Very few people follow a path of eating a more healthy, holistic diet. They're into fast foods. They're into artificial foods and artificial drinks and medicines and tap water and everything they can do to drive their health downward. They do have to address the health issues. You can't become attuned to the spiritual frequencies when you're vibrating at a toxic frequency. you can try. You're welcome to attempt to vibrate at those frequencies, but until you restore the natural aspects of your body, to realize that the things that make you hungry, you know, all the monosodium glutamate in your system can make you overeat or make you eat things that you normally wouldn't. You say, well, it tastes good or it satisfies my hunger. But you're not thinking about what you're putting into your body, what it's doing to your body, what it's doing to your mind. And then when you want to apply that to understanding higher concepts, you can't vibrate in that manner. You can't hear the sound or feel the vibration. And it's difficult to put your intent on a higher frequency when physically and mentally it's being pulled downward.
It's, you know, we've got a number of things that we can, in fact, invoke for what we're looking for. We are looking for answers. We're looking for solutions. And since you're Don Nikoloff and you know the United Galactic Federation, I know who you said they are, and I can't wait to meet them possibly someday, but I understand that they're human. They're Christian. I, in fact, can only presume that they're made in God's image as well, if they're human, and they live on these other planets. And, you know, it seems to be like a pristine place, and I've kind of touched on this before. How do they, I mean, I know they're advanced so many thousands of years of in concept of ours, but I think it's a legitimate question. How do they, in fact, eat? What kind of foods do they eat? Do they have the same kind of poisons that we do down here? And how do they, if they do, how do they avoid that? Do they have anybody feeding those? So I guess what I'm saying is, can we draw a parallel to all these other planets in this galaxy that, in fact, are inhabited by humans as well, Christians, whether they be human or if there's Christians of a different species? I can't answer that question. But if you understand what I'm trying to say,
where they live in a society which is not a slave society, they eat healthy vegetables, healthy fruits. They drink juices. They have things that they make that are probably very similar to what we eat. Although I can say probably to a great extent, they're not eating meat. They're not killing animals for food. Now, that there may be some exceptions to that, but as a general rule, it's known to keep the body and the mind free of toxins and free of bacteria and disease. And so they're not stressing their bodies. And obviously they're not taking pharmaceutical drugs that undo all the good that such diets do for them physically and mentally. But they have technology to treat disease or to avoid disease, to eliminate it. And again, there's less stress on the body. So the body lives properly. It's not fighting to survive. It's thriving as it survives. See, there's a big mm-hmm. difference. And this...
if they went through some of these channels of, or the annals of having some of these problems, like pharmaceutical drugs, because I know it wasn't invented here, but if they've had those types of things, what are the tricks of the trade in getting rid of those kind of beings? I mean, getting rid of those types of things. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just looking for commonality of parallels.
First way is to stop taking the things that they're putting out. Stop asking for prescriptions. Clean your body by eating healthy. Get some exercise. If you don't know how to exercise, sign up. And try not to I'm sure it's fun to do all these different types of exercise where they're dancing, and that's okay. That's dancing. And you might sweat and you might get in shape. You know, I think there's more specific work to be done in making sure that the body is functioning properly. Some people have very strong legs and they need to build up their arm strength or their flexibility, or they need to overcome injuries, prolonged injuries that have been causing them to suffer. There are people, lots of people with spinal problems, backaches, and they do nothing to strengthen their body to relieve the pain and possibly even overcome those injuries. Instead, they take drugs, which lower their frequency in many other ways. And they numb the pain, but they don't stop the cause of the pain. The idea is to address the cause. and obliterate it and move on into a different state of being. But the person in that body has to make the decision to do that. No one can force them to do it against their will and be successful and achieve positive results that they'd be happy with. They're going to hate the whole experience. Somebody tells us we have to do something. We're sovereign beings, and we need to recognize our sovereignty. And by doing that, by accomplishing that, we will become conscious of who we are.
And the number one commercial on the TV, in fact, is Ask Your Doctor.
Yeah, and, you know, the doctor grabs the pad and the pen and puts some chicken scratch there and collects the money, and every couple of months he goes on a long vacation.
Yeah, but they don't know enough to ask the doctor, will this lower my frequency? Will this do anything to me besides hurt me? Mm-hmm. They don't know that, because that's the number one commercial from The Matrix. Ask your doctor. It's pandemonium. It continues. It's the gerbil cage. It continues every single day, every single day. More Matrix, more the same thing. And there are people waking up. They're getting off of some pharmaceutical drugs. It's a very slow process, because even when they try to do that, Don, I can tell you from personal experience within my own family, when they try to do that, they're scared to do that because they're scared somebody else in the family might yell at them again. You put them back on there, you do what the doctor says, and so on and so forth. Because these other people, in fact, have no clue. It's almost like they can't wait to get to that age where they got to take this stuff.
You're describing people who have given their power to someone else. It's the same thing. Does it matter if it's the government or your next-door neighbor or your spouse? There's a way to get along with people, but ultimately you've got to make those decisions. You decide if you're going to do 10 push-ups or 50 push-ups, or you're going to set a goal to do those, or you're going to learn to swim, or maybe lift some weights, or ride a bicycle, or go canoeing. I mean, there are lots of things that you could do. And you don't have to be doing it all day. People say, oh, well, I don't have the time. But they sure have time to sit for hours and hours and hours watching television, vegging out. So
is pork rinds vegetarian?
Not exactly.
I don't suppose we'll ever catch a general munching on beef jerky, eh?
No, I don't think so. I'm sure at one time he did, but those times change. Things change. And you learn something. Once we've said this many times on the show, when you see the truth and you learn the truth, you can't come back from that. There's no going back. Certainly you wouldn't be happy if you returned to all the things that held you back. I think really any reasonable person on this planet would want to know why things happen the way they do, so that they could take advantage of knowing that.
Right.
And the system has been designed to mask or to obfuscate that, to muddy the waters so that they don't think about doing that. They're so busy following orders that they don't stop to realize that they're following orders that they don't have to follow.
Right. They become unreasonable people.
Mm-hmm.
As you said,
I heard
people.
Yeah, I was doing some driving yesterday, and I heard on mainstream AM radio on a talk show, the best of for the year. But they were also playing some bits or some segments of shows from prior years. And they played for a good 2 hours. They played some clips from an event that occurred August 25th of 2009. And it was a massive appearance of flying saucers and jets that had anti-gravity who were scattering about the skies of Ohio. The whole state of Ohio was covered with chemtrails. Starting at about 3 p.m. on that day, Eastern Standard Time. And they were talking about this on the radio. People were calling up from all around the city of Cleveland on the freeways, describing the jets, how fast they were going. What was it they were spraying in the skies? And, of course, it came to light that there was a space battle going on over Ohio and over parts of Ontario, Canada, and over Lake Erie as well. We came to learn that there's an underwater base in Lake Erie at that time. And these events came to the attention of the Federation. They were asked to mediate. Now, who was battling? Well, there were descriptions of reptilian ships, of course, grays. This had a lot to do with what was going on the moon. And this was a reciprocal attack because of what had transpired on the moon. Now, that will come out eventually. Everyone will know that. Eventually, everyone will know that. And maybe at that time, when everyone learns it, they'll say, you know, I heard Don Nikoloff talk about that on his show many times. And yeah, we thought he might have been a little off his rocker or just making it up, having fun. Well, it'll come to a point where people will know.
Right. You wouldn't do that anyway, just to have fun. You wouldn't make anything up, Don. Have fun. That's not fun, making stuff up. There's enough people making stuff up. Does this have anything to do with the 700 domes that were spotted on the moon?
No, that's more recent. I mean, you know, this building has been going on feverishly up there. There are many structures, and there are at least 700 domes up there used for different things. Some are probably like antennas. Some are power systems.
Oh, there's complete structures. Somebody from China sent me something. They titled it The Dark Side of the Moon. And there are more than just structures up there. There's entire. They look like Frank Lloyd Wright buildings of the 1970s up there, and they're just... There's huge masses of them. Huge masses of them. Yeah
they're not just on the dark side of the moon either. In fact,
this picture was allegedly, well, why should I doubt that it was anything but what they said it was? But that was just recently, but that's going to come out. Yeah, that's going to come out. Oh, well, what are people going to say then? Oh, well, I heard Don Nikoloff say it a long time ago, but they didn't believe you then. Or whenever it was, or me, or anybody else.
I'm not asking anyone to believe me.
Neither am I.
Yeah, I'm not asking anyone to believe me. You see, it's something that I know, and it's something that others know. I have no quarrel with those that know it, other than those that are in a position to tell the truth to everybody and admit it. You see? But it has to do with who pulls the strings down here. That has everything to do with it. So that's where we run into resistance, you see. These aren't...
Oh, yeah, they scrambled to neutralize all that.
Yeah, see, their intention is for us to not know that. Now, where do they get off telling other beings in the universe what they can and can't know? Simple.
Yeah.
See? It's simple. It has nothing to do with planet Earth. It's the whole universe operates by these laws. You know?
Yeah.
That's the law. So don't tell me that you've created another law that nullifies the supreme law. That's the point. to be able to talk about it and to be able to consider it. That's what sovereignty is. I don't tell them what they have to believe, other than that you're going to tell me you're going to shove a slave system down my throat. No, thank you. I don't have to accept that, and I don't accept that. And anyone that is unhappy with their circumstances should look at the opportunity they have to think the same way, to arrive at the same conclusion. And you have to know who you are, and you have to make some rather adult choices. See, those that are allowing everyone else to make the decisions are acting just like children. Isn't that how we expect children to act? To listen to what we say? If we say, don't run out into the road, it's dangerous. We expect children not to run out into the road. Well, we have the government telling us not to run out into the road. But out the other side of their mouth, they tell us we have to pay for the road. You see? But it's their road. We pay for it. We stay off of it. Or out of it, but it's theirs. Now, does that make sense?
No. You clamor the same way I do. Wait a minute. Wait, they don't own everything. No, those are just pieces of paper there, dude.
They really own nothing. That's their...
They own nothing.
That's the big picture. None of us own anything.
Right.
We have temporary use of it.
They don't understand that concept because they believe in the sign of the serpent and ownership. We don't. We don't. We don't have to subscribe to that. But many of us do, because many of us, in fact, work for that same gov that's, in fact, telling us that we own all this. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, this, and, you know, it's not even government, actually. It's other beings telling the government, okay? They're just the middlemen. It's just more middlemen.
They'll eat them as well, I assure you. I'm trying to get that message to Pat Teaberry. Yeah, he thinks he's got a ticket to ride the grand train to the super tunnel. In fact, it's going to take him to one of those cities, him and his family. Yeah, you got a ticket to ride. They'll eat you and your children before you arrive at that city. Okay. Try to get that message to him. Oh, but that's too, isn't that kind of vehement and violent? You've got no idea who you're dealing with, is all I can tell them.
Well, you know, what we're talking about too, Dr. Mike, is just scratching the surface, because we're talking about a person getting to the point where they arrive at making a choice or making a decision on their own, of their own volition. Knowing why they made that choice and not being afraid to make it. And guess what? If it doesn't work out, you can modify it and you can make another choice. That's sort of how everything goes.
I was thinking specifically about those, in fact, that don't know that. The ones that think they are going to arrive. They're not. That's what I said, Don. They've got no idea. Yeah. Who's in charge, really?
Mm-hmm.
They're just that idiotic. They're just that naive. It goes beyond the magnitude of naive into absolute, utter silliness. Talk about delusional. They've got no idea. But see, everything still proceeds because that person happens to be in an elected position and they think they're important. No. They're mere corporate agents. That's all they are, as I said before.
Well, they have responsibilities, but they've chosen for over 100 years to shirk them.
Yeah, they sold them off. They don't have responsibilities. They sold all their responsibilities to the corporate. And that's just the way and we know all these people. We know their names. We know who they are. We know who is involved. We say their names. We say who they are, what they've done. We talk about $30 million going to Voinovich. How many went in Ohio to the USDA and the Department of Agriculture. I've called publicly for the diminishment and dissolution of the Ohio EPA, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, because those are just two that I'm most familiar with. But they're nothing but minions to collect and, in fact, and take our properties and, in fact, do nothing but get in the way. They're absolutely useless, period.
Yeah, they're users.
They're users. They're users. I want them gone. I want there to be no such thing as the federal EPA. And believe me, I've got a testament. I've been around those bunch of hucksters for, what, now 25 years. I've went and testified to Congress about the federal EPA and the regional EPA, and it was against them. Yeah, to the Oversight Committee, to the minions, in fact. McIntosh, in fact, is the one who invited me. And who was there? Oh, Henry Waxman. Henry Waxman. Well, you know, he pulled in somebody. He'd done all these little tricks, shut Congress down for 45 minutes, and made darn sure that, in fact, our position was we caught somebody. We testified about somebody being absolutely corrupt in Philadelphia on a huge website, on a huge Superfund site. What difference did that make? You know what difference that it made, all of our testimony? Not one thing. The contractor still got the $30 million contract to put a little bit of asphalt and clean this up and clean that up, and there was radioactivity on this, but it didn't make any difference. We got shut up and shut down. Okay, that's who the EPA is. They, in fact, are minions. They are corporate agents. They are a corporation by themselves. Al Whitney got the information for me. Yeah, they're registered in all through Virginia. The federal EPA is. The EPAs across this nation, in fact, are corporations, period. So yeah, I've publicly called for them, but we've got no idea of what they've got in mind about this call our environment. If it contains the word safety or protection, look out. Look out.
Or security.
Or security. Thank you.
Or hope.
Man, I mean, anytime you see those, run away from them. I'm publicly calling for their dissolution because these people, in fact, are nothing but an ultimate threat to this nation. And that's just the EPAs, and that's just the Department of Natural Resources. Look at what happened in the Gulf disaster. We fingered those people. We talked about them. Did it make one bit of difference? No. They all got promoted. Where did where'd that Commandant Allen go? That Trog, where did he go? He got promoted. And he went back to Chicago.
Yeah, well.
How do you get promoted if you're an admiral already? So anyways, no, I know. That's the types of things that just gall me to no end. But I got to take my anger in and just keep saying the same thing, Don. So you always find me saying the same thing.
Well, I'm also, as you know, I'm about, answering your questions the best way I possibly can and giving people the indication that there is something that they can do. Now, I'm not going to get into this, well, you should be doing this. Each individual's got to make that choice. That's really each individual's own decision to make. I can explain the process. I can't live it for somebody else, though. And I will not live it for somebody else. That's their gig. That's their life. And,
certainly.
It doesn't have to be all doom and gloom. I repeat that again.
Right, right. But it is about solutions, and I can only figure that this is part of a solution. And, in fact, is to start dismantling some of this stuff. That's not doom and gloom. That's part of a solution. I wrote the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act in 2003, and it was revised in 2008, and not one congressman nor senator will read that draft law to protect the breathable air column. Not one.
Well, they didn't read the Patriot Act either.
Well, no. See, it's not about what we, in fact, do or propose as solutions. It's what they, in fact, continue as the gerbil cage keeps going around. That's not doom and gloom. That's just how reality is right now. And I don't, in fact, try to make that rosy either, because we're not setting off to the side somewhere. We're in this battle, but they don't see it as a battle. They see it as, well, you know, let's see. And that's all you can do is just smile, force yourself to smile and wave your hand and say, hey, would I have a nice day, and walk away. There's no hope for them. They're not going to resonate like we are. They're not going to agree, because they'll have to do something. There's a lot of us out here that, in fact, already agree on these things, and that's the ones that I'm talking to.
Yeah, you see, we've been putting out this message about the danger of so many of these drugs that they've manufactured, and they themselves know that we're telling the truth about it. So it's no big secret that people have died from taking their medications, or have become disabled from taking their medications, or very, very ill from taking their medications. And they continue to tell us to ask our doctors. Well,
ask
you start there. And stop asking your doctor. Don't ask your doctor, because he's just in the business to sell you more. Now, there are exceptions, but you're not going to call those doctors about getting prescriptions. That's not what they do.
No, it's an industry.
Yeah, there are exceptions. So you seek out those people. And you have to do a little work. You have to apprise yourself of who's out there and doing that kind of work. And then call that person and ask some questions. Do a little bit more work. And feed your mind with healthier thoughts. Then this doom and gloom in the world is going to end on December 21st, 2012. Or that it's going to be hit by a planet that's on a rogue course that scientifically is impossible.
I'll say praise the Lord to that, Don, because you're correct about that. In fact, they prophesize that. They embed that into their head. But look what the Mayan calendar says. Well, sorry for the Mayans. They just couldn't think beyond that point or something. It doesn't make any difference to me. You're absolutely correct. It's a methodology of programming. Just because the day and go beyond that doesn't mean that something's going to happen. We can change our course and our fate.
The Microsoft Windows program ran up until the end of 1999, and that's why there was all this panic about the year 2000. They hadn't thought about programming the calendar to go past that in the average computer. Okay. Now,
and to make a lot of money.
Did the world end? Did it end because of that? Everybody put all their faith in computers. Isn't that interesting? And the Macs run till the year 3700, as far as the calendar is concerned. It's just a calendar. But this date means something else to these demons that symbolically use dates to carry out their dirty deeds and to plant
as if it appeared in the Bible somewhere, and it did not.
Yes. Yes. So why does everybody fall for this? Well, it's exciting. You see, this is something that they can read. It's not in a movie. It might be true. And granted, it might be true. So what if it is? What the heck do you think you can do to stop a planet from hitting the Earth if it's going to destroy the Earth? What about all the other times that it made this orbit? It allegedly made this orbit into the Earth's path. Why wasn't the Earth destroyed then? Why wasn't it? Well,
why weren't we told about it before? Right.
Yeah, it's a big story.
We can do something about it. So you kind of amended your own question there. You're absolutely right. And I see I'm standing and looking east, and there's really a red moon coming up tonight.
That happens once in a blue moon.
I thought I just mentioned. Now this thing is really kind of a clay red.
Yeah. Moon. Well, anyways. Dr. Mike, we're out of time, but it was an interesting discussion. Very interesting.
I appreciate it very much, and I always enjoy being able to voice my same things that I've always talked about very much on your show, and my best to your listening audience across the world and the galaxy. And I appreciate it very much, Don, and I look forward to the next time we talk.
Well, I want to wish you and your family a very happy New Year, which is coming up in just a couple of days here. I won't have you on the show till next year, so I can say is I'll see you next year.
I'll see you next year, Don. Hey, listen, thank you, sir. Many blessings your way, and good night to everyone.
All right. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and you take care. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. Mike Castle. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world for broadcasting Evident Footprints, either live or in an archive. Over at BBS Radio, want to thank Doug Newsom on the sound tonight. Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my guest will be all the way from Argentina, Mr. Adrian Salbucci. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.